to This Magical Life, a weekly podcast hosted by two witchy friends.
I'm Victoria. I'm a mom, I manage a shop, and I teach Teen Witch Academy.
I'm Margaret. I'm a magical bard, and I love tarot and astrology.
We're both witches and dog people.
Hello, Victoria.
Hey, Margaret. How are you today?
I'm doing better. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad that you are better.
Oh, thank you. Last week, I had no voice.
Well, first of all, day,
and you wouldn't have wanted to sit with me anyway.
If I could just talk about myself for a second, because it is all about me. I was so sad here on Monday.
I'm
so
sorry.
Quiet, like super quiet.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. I mean, I had the music on and everything, but Media Monday was not fun at all.
I'm so sorry.
And I was like, this is just what work feels like.
This is just Monday now.
Yeah, like now I get it. I didn't enjoy it. So if I could just make your sickness all about me,
no, that's
I would
totally
tell you that.
Fine. Go for it.
Even the shop was not the same last week, and it was weird, like without
I'm sorry.
You here. Yeah.
I missed being here.
Yeah.
Saturday, I could not get out of bed.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, the flu's no fun.
That's, you know what the weirdest part is? Like, when you left here on Friday, I was like, okay, see you tomorrow. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, we might not see Margaret tomorrow. Like, you look fine.
I felt fine. Like, and then I got home and within like a half hour, I'm like, my throat really hurts.
Yeah.
And then like a half hour later, I'm like, and here comes a fever. That's fun.
Yeah, like, it's, okay, you're like the third person that has told me that it just comes on really, really quick.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, you're like, oh, how quick could it come on? That's pretty quick.
That's very quick.
That's quick. Were you able to do your reading with,
I did it this past Saturday, yes.
Okay, great.
We did reschedule.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, so the shop was not the same. It's all about me when you're sick, but I'm just so glad that you're back.
Oh, thank you.
Because Media Monday is so much more fun.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed it because I was, like, awake and could move around on Monday, and I was like...
Right.
I really want to be there, but I was like, but I'm only a few days into this and we'll probably get her sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. You know, yeah, that's true too. But, you know.
I don't want you to have the flu.
No, I don't want to either. But it was just funny because I was like, oh my God. This is the worst.
I felt the same way. It was the worst.
But today is the best because not only are you back, but Trixie's back. And we also have Wednesday here today.
We have Wednesday here.
Wednesday is here.
We have dual dogs.
We,
Unfortunately, they did not have a let's hang out together kind of greeting,
well,
so they're separated, but they're doing okay.
I don't think it was so bad. I mean, Wednesday's a little aloof anyway.
Well, she was interested. But, Trixie got a little nervous.
Yeah, well,
but
I mean, she is probably three times the size of Trixie, you know.
And I tried explaining to Trixie earlier, I'm like, Wednesday's like the gentlest dog you're ever going to meet.
Yeah. And she wasn't really...
She didn't internalize it.
Yeah, well, you know
it's
what?
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
They're fine. They're good.
They're actually super fine, so...
Trixie is in her bed. She's content.
And Wednesday's just under the table, because that's what she does.
If Wednesday can find furniture to sleep under,
yeah,
she's golden.
She's happy. She is happy.
I also want to express that I don't love time changes.
Yeah.
And Sunday, this last one, it kicked my bum. I was tired. I don't know if it was like post-flu stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll still be coughing for a week afterwards.
Oh, it's yeah, like, at least, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if it was that plus the time change or just the time change. But last night I went to bed at what would have originally been 9:15 at night, I think.
Yeah.
It was very early. And I had napped. I was like a mess all afternoon.
Okay,
I don't know about
you. Of course, I didn't know about the time change until, like, yesterday when you told me. Because, you know, everything's so automatic now.
Yeah, it just, you wake up and it's what the time is.
Right, like, I always use the clock on my phone and in my car. And now that, like, your car and your phone are connected, it's like everything's just, you know, everything's good. You know?
I still have to manually, in fact, I haven't done it yet. I have to manually toggle daylight savings time in my car.
Okay.
My old car, you had to, like, hold a pen on the button and watch the minutes go until it like hit the correct minute.
Okay.
And if you missed it, you had to go 24 hours around it or
12
hours around
it. Yeah,
again.
No, that's not fun.
So it's moving in the right direction.
Okay.
But I hear you. It's easy to forget.
And I couldn't figure out why the automatic light timer thing. I'm like, why aren't the lights, like, what's going on, you know? I had to figure that out. And so that was pretty funny. I too went to bed early last night, but I went to bed with my contact lenses in.
Ow.
So, obviously the time change affected me in many ways. in many ways.
Like, it's not time to take these out yet.
Yes, yes. So I, you know, I don't know. I very absent-minded yesterday. But yeah, we really got a taste of some sunshine.
Yes.
And that was lovely.
It was.
That was really nice. So I'm super excited. I really like this time of year when it's not hot.
Yep.
Because, you know, I don't like the hot weather. And it's not cold because I don't like the cold weather.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
like
I
the
hear
just
you.
Right weather.
I get excited for when you don't need a coat anymore.
Yeah.
Because then it's just so much less cumbersome. I know you almost never wear a coat.
You know, because, like, even today, I have, like, 3 shirts on. Yeah. So, like, I, you know.
And a hat. So yeah, you're keeping your heat in your body.
You know, yeah. And I'm not even hot in here. So.
That's good.
Yeah. But, that's, you know, good. That's why. Trinity's always like, can we put the heat on? I'm like, well, no, because then I'll get hot. And she's like, but nobody else is wearing 27 layers.
We always used to tease my sisters because they lived in Manhattan at the time and had no control over their heat.
Okay.
Right? And so in their apartments in the dead of winter, they'd be wearing like tank tops and shorts. So they'd come home to visit us. They wouldn't be wearing tank tops and shorts, but they would be wearing cooler outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd always be freezing, and we're like, put on more clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't, like, have any out, you know? Like,
yeah.
They didn't need them at home.
I remember that from living in Westchester. You know, the heat just got pumped in, and I can remember, like, it snowing, and I had my windows open.
Yeah.
You know.
What else
Which
can
is
you do?
Nuts.
But can't, you know, be good for the environment.
No, it cannot be at all, but... yeah, I'm enjoying, I think I'm going to enjoy this time of year, especially in our location. This is gorgeous here. So I think it's all going to be good.
I think so too. It's shaping up so far to be a nice transition into spring.
It is. It is.
And those stars right around the corner. It's in 8 days.
Oh my gosh. Can you even believe?
No.
Yeah. It's
because I haven't done my playlist all the way yet. I'm behind on the in bulk playlist. Like once I get through Ostara, then I have the whole year done.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I can't believe that it's almost Ostara. I feel like I lost a week with the flu.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just like,
yeah.
Everything feels very compressed time-wise right now.
You know what I would love to do? And now I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you a question that we didn't discuss.
Awesome.
You know, like, I made up this Ostara booklet.
Yeah.
I would like to share it with our listeners. But how can we do that in any way, shape, or form?
Is it digital?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on my computer. That's digital.
It is.
Okay.
You have to have a digital way to share it.
Okay.
But we can work on that.
Okay.
We're going to work on that for next week.
Yeah. I'm hoping that you guys can have it because I made up this really pretty little booklet and it was just fun to do.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do one. Yeah. I'd like to do one for all the Sabbaths because it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to share it.
Awesome. There are lots of ways we can do that.
Okay.
So I'll discuss the tech with you.
Okay. I didn't even know it was digital.
You can decide which way is best for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
and then you. We'll share it with everybody next week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will tell you that I did my first TikTok.
Good job.
And it was, you know, of course it wasn't right because I put too many photos and I had to like cut it off at I put it on the TikTok. I put it on the Instagram. And I felt like so accomplished.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good job.
You know, so I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
I think you've made leaps and bounds.
So I'm getting there. But yeah. Yeah. Thank you. But I would love to share the Ostara booklet with our listeners.
Yeah. Sounds great.
You know, the Dalai Lama. And
Rebecca Campbell.
And Rebecca Campbell.
And Ron Livingston.
Ron Livingston. That's who it was. Trinity was cracking me up because she's like, Ron Livingston, like, why would he be listening to your play?
Because maybe he just does. Like, people have said
we don't
that
know.
It's like sitting and having tea with friends.
Yeah, like, maybe he likes that.
Yeah, he might, if he's not into the magical stuff, he might just like the vibe.
Right, so, you know.
And he could be into the magical stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Ron, let us know.
Let us know. Comment. I like magic, though.
DM us on Instagram.
But what are we talking about this week? We're talking about...
Planning an herb garden, we're talking about it, it's mostly going to be me asking you questions about it because I have a black thumb.
Yeah, really?
Oh yeah, anything I try to grow, it dies.
Really? Okay.
And this is even with the council. Okay, so I live with a florist. And,
and your mom,
and my mom
is like
who is,
amazing.
She was for years the president of her garden club. I live with people who really know plants, yet for some reason, as soon as I touch a plant, it's like... I'm going to die now.
Okay.
It's like my green witchcraft is in herbs I've already purchased that are
oh,
already
okay.
herbs.
Okay.
Like dried, harvested herbs.
Well,
but I don't do so much with the growing because it's really just a waste of money at this point.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And it gets really upsetting when you like put so much into it, especially when you do it like from seeds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you've grown them and now you plant them and like everything seems to be going well. And then you're like, okay, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. So like I can talk about basically like all the stages of plant growth. I can talk about, you know, all the ideas of having a garden.
But just not having the garden.
No.
Well, that's okay.
It is. So I'm going to ask you first question. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Are you going to start yours from seed?
So some of the plants I start from seed, but some I don't.
Okay.
For an example, I want to grow rosemary so bad. And my friend has told me, oh my gosh, I can't stop growing rosemary. It's just so easy. And everybody says it's so easy. It's the only thing that I cannot grow. I have never been successful. One year I had like enough so like I could cut like three little sprigs off and like use it, you know, in a bundle. But yeah, I've had no luck with it. So those I will buy a plant. And this time, instead of buying like even like the small plant, I'll buy probably a more established plant and put it in a container and try my best. I don't know what it is about rosemary that I'm just have a black thumb about, but
yeah, now you've got plenty of sun. I wonder if there's not enough sand in your soil.
I'm wondering, you know, I'm gonna do some more reading and like this is why I thought a container I could really get the soil right. So yes, I start some of it from seed, like my sage, I start from seed.
Okay.
Because I like to know, because I do use my sage, I do make, you know, bundles with it and I like to burn it. So I like to know like exactly where it came from because, you know, when you're burning things, you know, you want to make sure that they don't have chemicals on them.
Yeah.
I will tell you that one year, we have somebody come and like spray for mosquitoes and, cause my husband's like really allergic to them and, they sprayed my herb garden and I had a fit, like, you know, no, of course it was like the beginning of the season. And, you know, I did once like all the rain kind of washes that stuff off. And like, you know, when I harvested, I used some vinegar and stuff to, you know, harvest, like to clean them, but I was really upset. So
understandable.
Yeah. So I like to know for like, especially if I'm burning, like, you know, what's in there or whatever. But some herbs I'll go out and buy. Like there's this one that I like that's chocolate mint.
Ooh.
And it's
Wait a minute.
Lovely.
There's a plant that tastes like chocolate mint?
Yeah. And you can make the most delicious tea from it. But I've never found the seeds. Yeah. I've never like, I thought maybe, you know, like how... So, like, mint is one of those herbs that if you have it in your garden...
It goes everywhere.
It goes everywhere. So, some people like to just put it in a container in their garden so it doesn't root everywhere else. But this type of mint does not do that.
Okay.
I've tried planting it just in the ground, and each year I have to buy it. So, like, something like that I'll buy,
Chocolate
you know.
Mint.
Yeah.
Yum.
It's super great. There's a type of spearmint that I usually like to get and not really grow from seeds.
Okay.
Some of them I don't have success with from seed, and some of them I have a lot of success. Basil, I could grow enough basil, and of course, like lemon balm. Lemon balm has taken over practically my whole herb garden, and in fact, each year I have to really like weed some out.
Well, because that's kind of like mint, right? And it's
exactly.
And it's what's the word I'm looking for?
It just propagation. It just seeds itself and grows everywhere, you know, and like and it's beautiful. And the nice thing is, like, when you're in the garden, it smells so great. Like when the wind, you know, when you have like a breeze, and it smells great.
Yeah.
Somebody actually told me that you could burn that, and you know, you can make bundles from it. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
So when I try it this year, I'm going to dry some and try it and nice. See how it smells. I'm a little worried that the lemon
it might
won't,
be a little too astringent.
Yeah. That the lemon won't really smell great. So
could you mix it with something else, like a mint?
Well, I'm thinking that if I mixed it with like lavender,
oh yeah,
that might be really pretty.
Well, because you made that lemon balm lavender oil a couple years
right,
ago. That was amazing.
Right. So, you know,
or
yeah.
syrup. It was syrup.
It was syrup. Oil. It was like a simple syrup. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so I think that, you know, some plants I have a lot of success with,
yeah.
and some plants I have no success with.
I wonder if it's something to do with the climate.
It probably
or the amount of sun
is.
That we get, because we're pretty far north.
Yep.
So we don't get as much sun. Like a lot of herbs that grow in like a Mediterranean region,
yep.
they need a lot more sun and warmth than we get. So I wonder if that's got something to do with it,
you
why
know,
it might not... work from seed as well if you don't have a greenhouse.
That actually makes a lot of sense because like oregano, I sometimes have a very difficult time growing that. And a couple years ago, what I did was I took it out of the ground, planted it in a pot, and I had more success.
Yeah.
Because I was able to kind of move it throughout the day. So that was good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the morning, I don't really get sun in my herb garden until about noon. And by then, it's like, it's hot.
Right.
You know, it's bad. But I only have it for about, you know, 4 hours or whatever, or 5 hours. Or, I mean, I still have it there, but it's not very strong for, like, the growth process.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you could always, and sorry, Tom, you could always turn Tom's gym into a greenhouse room.
Well, so when we first moved into the house, that's kind of what it was.
Okay.
So I've actually considered just getting one of those, like, little greenhouses, yeah. You know, and, but I don't want to get one where, like, I have to have concrete poured and everything else. I just want one, like, of, like, those, almost like those plasticky ones.
Yeah, like a bubble one.
You know, yes.
Yeah.
So, I'm, you know, I've been looking into that, like, just getting some, you know, like, kind of cheaper one that will just, you know, keep the sun in there, or the heat in there. Yeah, because I don't think he's going to give up his gym.
Hmm. Half of it?
And I don't even think I could be like, I need another room. I need more space. I need more space, Tom. I need to spread out. So, yeah. So I would love to have a greenhouse. And I would love to have like a big greenhouse. You know, yeah. Like, did you ever see those ones that people make out of like windows and stuff? And, you know, that would be great. But the whole problem is like the pouring of the concrete, the getting the permits, it doesn't make it fun anymore.
Then it's a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you just want to get to the plants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm also going to grow this year, besides herbs, is zinnias.
Okay.
Because I love them.
Yeah.
And our friend Casey, I told her, and so she was giving me some pointers because I'm like, are they easy? Are they not easy? I don't know. Like, this is, you know, this is the whole thing. So, yeah, I'm very excited to grow them,
too. Those are pretty. My mom grows zinnias. Zinnias and dahlias definitely every year. Because she...
Hers are beautiful.
Thank you. She and her friend have a cutting garden that they do. There's like a community farm, community garden mm-hmm. area. And they get a plot each year and they plant stuff. I was originally going to plant some herbs in it, but then I remembered how much of a black thumb I have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, other than like going to water if she's on vacation for her, like I really shouldn't be touching
right,
the plants
right.
beyond that.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's, I like to go with her when she goes.
Yeah. It's a very beautiful spot.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful spot.
It's very pretty. I like to walk there. And
a cutting garden is wonderful. I was thinking that when I do the zinnias, I would actually, I have like a space for them that I'm like, you know, we can cut them, we could do whatever, and you know, it won't matter. Like how
you have that little flower press kit, that could be fun with them.
Oh, yeah. I love my little flower press kit and putting them in my grimoire, and you know, yeah, it's lovely. But I do love to have cut flowers in the house, so I thought, wouldn't it be really cool if I grew them myself?
Yeah. 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 That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So you're going to do lemon balm. You're going to try rosemary again.
Yep. I'm going to do
sage.
Yep. Sage,
you're
of course.
You're going to do the chocolate mint
mm-hmm.
spearmint.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing oregano this year? Are you going to do
I will do some oregano.
Okay.
I will do thyme also.
Nice.
I always do fennel.
Okay.
Which is actually one of the easiest ones because all you really do is plant it and then you wait until October when you harvest it.
Okay.
And then you dry it out in the oven. So it's pretty easy. But I love to have fennel. That to me is like the ultimate winter spice. And it's, you know, it smells really good too, like when you burn it in incense. So
yeah.
Yeah. You have to watch what you burn it with because again, there's that chance that it could turn into the, you know, ashtray smell.
Yes. It does have a very strong aroma.
Yes.
And a very unique aroma.
Yes.
So if it's not paired with the right thing, I would imagine that it can
right.
go, it can go pear-shaped.
Absolutely.
Very, very quickly.
Absolutely. So, and I'll also grow basil.
Nice.
Because I love basil and I love the way that smells too.
It smells amazing. And then you can have pesto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And this year I'm also trying to grow from seed holy basil.
Ooh, nice.
Which has a very lovely scent. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to try, I think it's pineapple sage.
Yes. My gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, which I thought would just sounded delightful and, you know.
It's in the magical bard tea.
Oh, that's right. Which we're going to have soon.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. The
yes.
herbs came in. Love
yes.
it. Yeah, that has pineapple sage in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And the moment I smelled it, I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever
yeah.
smelled in my life.
It's lovely.
Yeah, that's great.
So I thought I would try to grow some.
Nice.
And we'll see how that goes.
Okay, so my next question for you. When you're planning it out, when you're planning out your garden, How do you decide what to put where?
Okay, so the best way to do that is to try to figure out what gets the most sun on your, you know, where you're planting, either on your balcony, in your yard, wherever you're, you know, on your patio. And then try to look up for each plant that you want to plant, what their sun requirements are and what's needed. And like, if something says it needs full sun, it really does. It won't grow in the shade. And it'll just look, it will grow a little bit, but it'll just look sparse and weird and like kind of yellowy. So I try to do that. And I try to let's say I wanted to grow some type of sage, but the area that I have left, I can't really grow maybe common sage there. I'll look up and I'm like, oh, maybe I can grow purple sage there. Like sometimes there's other sages and other plants in the same family that you can grow there and kind of get the same results.
Yeah.
Like parsley. People have like Italian parsley and
curly parsley.
Yeah, whatever. That's what it's called, yeah. Right? But you know, like kind of if you use them as a garnish, there's not that much of a difference. I mean, I don't notice a difference, but I'm not really like a chef parsley, type of person. But I think that most people, like, you can substitute a lot of things like that, like, you know, in the same family. So that's what I try to do. I try to figure out what is going to go where. Now, a lot of times when I'm actually planting, I will change my mind. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be okay back here. Because, you know, you also want to do it in levels. So my herb garden is actually against the house.
Okay.
So, of course, I want to put the herbs that get taller in the back and the herbs that are shorter in the front. Now I have this lemon balm situation.
It turns into a bush.
Yeah. So what I have to be really, really aware of where the lemon balm is, because usually I have to keep cutting it back all season.
Okay.
Even though I've weeded and I don't want to say it's not a weed, but you know, I've taken it out and tried to replant it in other places, just like, you know, even by the fire pit.
Yeah.
I like to, you know, just like put things back there. You know, for some reason, in that one spot in the herb garden, it really takes off everywhere else.
Okay, gotcha.
And I also grow lavender.
Yeah.
You know, I just love
lavender. I mean, it's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
It looks beautiful. It smells beautiful.
Yeah. And then what
the
I like
bees
to...
bees love it.
Yep. What I like to do, too, is on the border, I like to put marigolds.
Okay, yeah.
Because
to keep pests away.
Yep, to keep pests away. And I just think it looks pretty.
Yeah.
You know? Because some herbs, I will say, like, while they're, like, until they really grow and, like, get their roots in, you know, they're not beautiful, you know? It's not, like, as beautiful as you're like, oh, my gosh, but in, like, the Cottage magazine, you know, it looks beautiful. You know, sometimes you have to wait a little bit.
Right.
That's just Wednesday tip-tapping all over the place.
She's so cute.
I also want to say, too, that, like, you have to make sure, like, I have dogs. So, and in my herb garden, my herb garden is in, like, the gated portion of our yard. So I want to make sure that all the herbs that I put there are, you know, pet friendly.
Yeah.
Because
no matter how hard you try to keep a dog out of a garden, they're going to get in there eventually.
No, they just kind of walk in and show up there.
And then they get stuck there, and then they bark really loudly until you come get them out.
Right. Now, if something smells really good, they will automatically just want to lick it and, you know, bite it or eat some of it. One of the things that I read once is the smell of mint is really not appealing to mice.
Okay.
So.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. So I always have like put like mint in the back of my garden closest to the house just to keep them away. Because I'm like, you know, anytime you plant any sort of vegetable or even herbs, you know, little animals like to come and visit and maybe...
You have people.
You know, people like come and visit.
Gnawing on your herbs, laying in the garden beds. Yes. You've got a bigger problem.
Yes. But little animals like to come and sample.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll put this mint up. One of the things I did one year was I put mint around the edge of the garden.
Okay.
But again, it grows kind of tall and then it kind of blocks out some of the other plants.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to always think about that placement.
No, that's really important and a really good tip for people who are just getting started.
Yeah. Because we had a dog named Sage, and she did not like mint at all.
Yeah.
So she did not... She was our only dog that didn't go into the garden.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
She's like, I'm not crossing that
line. Yeah, she's like, I don't like that. So, you know.
So, my next question for you is, do you use any magic when planting and growing your herb garden, or is that enough of the magic in itself?
So... Yeah, you know, a little bit of magic. I mean, usually when the first time I go out for the season to, like, you know, get out the weeds and, like, clear and, you know, clean up, you know, I'm talking to the earth. I'm talking to my garden. I bring out my Gaia statue because she's always in, like, the middle of the garden. And I bring it out and I kind of almost talk to her.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit, but I feel like the garden itself is so magical. You know, one of the things I did a couple years ago was where my herb garden is, across from that I have like a night garden.
Yeah.
Because I just thought that would be like really cool. And I got a whole bunch of flowers that kind of bloom in the evening and are just really dark flowers. And that was really fun. It needed a lot more care than I thought that it would need.
Okay.
But it was really nice. I put like little fairy lights in there and, you know, and I'll like talk to the soil and I'll, you know, talk to things. And, you know, I love when the bees come and I'll talk to them. Sometimes they land on me and that freaks me out a little bit. My kids hate the bees and they're like, and I'm like, no, these are the good bees. And,
yeah. You know, these are the ones that won't sting you unless they really mean it.
Right. So, yeah, but when they're there, I notice that the yellow jackets will also come, and I don't like them because they're just mean. And you know,
I think I'm going to put a trap out in our yard this year because last year we had so many yellow jackets.
They're just so insane. Mean, like they just sting for no reason, and you know, and a lot of people are allergic to them.
Yeah,
so that's a problem.
Well, they sting multiple times. I'm like, all right, you made your point.
Yeah. But you know, I've had lots of visitors to the garden, like little butterflies and, you know, hummingbirds, and I love it. I just love it because also my herb garden is near our pool. So when I'm outside in the summer, cause you know, I do love to just be on my float and float for the day.
Right.
I can like look at the garden and it just looks so peaceful. But the problem is that a lot of those bees then go into the pool.
Yeah.
And you know, they go to get a drink of water, which they shouldn't even be drinking this water either, but, and then they can't get out.
Yeah.
So I find that, my son and I have to like, you know, kind of, we try to fish them out with my shoes and like dry them off, and you know, some of them make it and that's really good. And they always seem really happy. But I think this year, what I'm going to do is I saw these little, I don't know what it's called, but it was like this little thing that you stick in your garden. It's like on a pole and it just looks like a leaf and you put like sponges in it and water.
Oh, and then they can get a drink.
And then they could get a drink.
Yeah.
You just have to clean it out every day. So I think that we should do that.
Cool.
And I just don't know what they're called. So maybe if I figure it out, I could put it in the show notes, but.
Bee water fountains?
Because it's important. The bees are important for your garden, of course. And I do also like to put like little decorative things in there because I think it looks really cool when like, the bees are flying around. There's like a little house there.
Yeah.
Like, again, like my Gaia statue. And I have like a moonlight in there. It's like shaped like a crescent moon and you know, it's
very
solar.
Cool.
And I do love being in the herb garden. But I will tell you that once you plant your herb garden, there's not a lot of work to do. There's watering, of course. But like last summer, there was barely any watering because we had so much rain. So there's watering. And then there's mostly harvesting. And what people, I think, don't realize is you can, like, you harvest all during the season.
Right. It's not just once.
Right. Of course, when you need fresh herbs, you can harvest, but also, like, just to cut things back, harvest then. And, you know, you could dry things out very easily. Just bunch them together, tie them with some twine, hang them from somewhere, and just let them dry out.
That I love. That process I love. And I will actually go to the grocery store and buy fresh herbs and then take them home and dry them.
Yes.
Because, as we know, my planting them doesn't really yield anything. They're pretty much always the same size they were when the season started. But, or they're dead. Or I have given them to my mother because at least I know they'll stand a chance with her. But yeah, so harvesting the herbs. You had mentioned the fennel is an autumn harvest.
Yes, that you don't really harvest any other time during the summer. Fennel just kind of does its own thing. But, you know, like your lemon balm and your mint and your chocolate mint, if you plant that and your sage, you can harvest all season because it will just grow back stronger and stronger. But when you harvest, like basil, there's a way that you have to cut it in order for it to keep growing.
Right. If you cut it the wrong way, it stops.
Yes. So, you know, what you should do is, you know, just get like even if you don't want to buy a book, just get like a couple magazines about herb gardens. And there's so much information in there. And you could just really look it up online.
Yeah.
And, you know, watch some like of those like the YouTube channels or whatever. Because there's a lot of really good information and you don't want to, you know, of course, kill your garden after you plant it.
After you've gone through all that effort.
And then once it really grows in, there's no weeding for me because the weeds don't really grow. They're too short, and, you know.
Yeah.
And then when they do, like there are some that grow, I just, you know, take one or two out. But I don't do a lot of weeding to it. I have it like kind of very natural.
Nice. So I have one more question about herb gardens for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever garden by the moon? Because I know you're a big moon person.
So
that makes it sound like I think you're an extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
I know you really love and appreciate the moon.
I do. You know,
not to say you have to garden that way, but I'm just curious.
It's funny. I noticed like the past couple of years that like I was almost gardening by the moon, but not really knowing it.
Okay.
Which was kind of weird, right?
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
I usually plant and do things just when I feel that it's right.
Okay.
I don't really wait for a time. You know, because sometimes I'm just more in the mood.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need to be in my garden because I find it very meditative. And I really just like being in there. I love harvesting. I even like the weeding, but I love, you know, being in there and like the dogs are there and I just find like it's really peaceful.
It's a happy spot.
And I mostly like to do it, of course, not when the sun's beating directly on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We one time, when we used to have our Tom's yogi come to the house, during, you know, COVID and after that, we one time did our yoga practice like next to the garden and it was like a little breezy and you could smell all the herbs and it was really lovely. And then, you know, of course me, I just like halfway through, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to lay here
and
like smell the herbs, you know, but, yeah, it's awesome. Like, it's like when we do it in the back and I'm like, oh, now I see the bats. Okay. I'm just going to lay here and watch the bats. So, or now I hear the owls, you know? Yeah. So, I get distracted very easily.
Okay.
But I just find like when you're out in nature, it's such a great way to just ground yourself when you're like playing in the dirt kind of, and you know, there's, you know, I don't really like the worms, but I always try to move them to like other spaces and, you know, they help the garden.
They
so you know, I'm not a big bug person, but I'm like, they're here and that's okay.
Unless it's a yellow jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless I just don't like them.
No, I don't either.
I don't think anybody does.
I don't either.
But although,
I don't even think they like themselves.
I know.
If they did, they'd be happier.
I think you're right. But like, they really don't start bothering me until August.
Yeah.
Because that's when they start
really,
getting
really,
really mean.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They get so nasty then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be putting out traps for them. Because I like, can't use our yard.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something about the color of my hair. It's not shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed shampoo a billion times. It's the color of my hair that makes them want to attack my
head.
They're
attracted to it in some way?
Or it makes them angry. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
But they always like ping off my head, which I've read is them like sending pheromones out to their buddies to come attack you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's not
so
good.
So I'm like, no, I don't like any of you.
Yeah.
Last year they had a ground nest in our yard and they attacked Greg, who does our
Oh, that's terrible.
And we felt so bad. We didn't know they were there.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah.
Those... If we knew they were there, we would have taken care of them before he came. But,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no,
it took a couple tries to get rid of them.
We've had them like nest in like the bushes around the garden, and they're awful. Like,
they're the worst.
You know, we've had to like move the, you know, tell the dogs not to go in certain areas, and you know. Because once they're there, it's really hard. You have to either do it at night or wait till the end of the season to get rid of their hive or whatever. You know, and it's, you know, I'm not a big advocate of like, you know, taking things out of nature that belong there. But the yellow jackets, something's happened lately and they're multiplying too fast and they are getting angrier and angrier. Probably because, you know, climate and the earth is, you know, going to crap. But
and for that, we are genuinely sorry, but stop stinging us.
Yeah, but we are mad about it too.
Yeah, we just don't attack you. So come on, yellow jackets, be cool.
Yeah. But if there's any green witches out there, they should definitely tell us what they're growing in their garden.
Yeah, I love
hearing what everybody else is growing, because then you can get, you know, ideas for your garden.
Definitely.
But, you know, I normally start planting in January, like you all know, because I know I've talked about that before. And I just love it. I just feel like it's, you know, it's just a way to be creative, but, like, also get your hands dirty and, you know.
Get in touch with the earth.
Yeah.
I also will add that if you feel the urge to be a green witch, and like me, you are a black thumb person. I don't really love that phrase, but I don't know what else to use right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can still interact with herbs, even if you're not growing them and harvesting them yourself. You can dry them. You can make things from them. You can still be very herby, and all of that is still good.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if it's just that you're nervous to do it and you haven't tried, pick one plant.
Yeah.
And do it in a pot.
Yep.
And see how it goes.
Yep.
I will tell you, I have successfully grown two things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
They are rosemary
mm-hmm.
and clover.
Okay. Now, interesting.
Clover is a really good plant to start with because it's almost impossible to kill.
Okay.
And the rosemary, I don't know if I just lucked out, had it in a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that flourished. Everything else did not.
Okay.
But, you know... give it a try if you haven't tried it. Don't mm-hmm. say no to it if you're curious about it, just because some people can't grow things to save
absolutely.
Their life.
Absolutely. And just one more note, like, if you're planting multiple things in a container, make sure that they go together.
Yeah.
You know, like tomato and basil.
Yeah.
That goes together, you know, because they will help each other grow then. If you plant things, I've never done it that they haven't worked, but I've heard of people that have, and I've read stories about it, you know, in like the magazines and the books.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know what plants don't work together, but like, just look it up. Just make sure that, you know, your plants want to be friends.
If you would eat them together, chances are they want to be friends.
True.
So we
have... Oh my gosh, you have the Green Witch Oracle.
I do. Trixie helped me pick this deck out today.
What a great idea.
And we're
Trixie's
pick a card
so smart.
For she is.
Okay. Card for the group. These cards are pretty. They have, like, they're green and then they have the symbols for air, fire, water, and the earth on them. Okay, so the card that I got was Ritual. It's sweet corn and it's ritual.
Yum.
And I was going to look this up for you, but of course.
There's a number at the top. So it's card number 10, if that helps.
Well, the problem is you also have to know how the numbers go in order, Margaret. And I saw card number 10 and thought it was in the back of the book. So
here we go. It could have gone backwards for all we know.
Yeah. I'm going to give the book to Margaret because I always love when she reads these.
Thank you. All right. So Ritual, sweet corn. The quote is from Rudyard Kipling. Gardens are not made by singing, oh, how beautiful, and sitting in the shade. Oracle meanings. Though there may be unknown forces surrounding and working for you, you are being prompted to join in through dedicated study and physical action. Beneficial esoteric teachings are worthwhile pursuing, and a deeper connection with another is being forged, perhaps without you even realizing it. Be careful of secrets and confidential knowledge that may cause harm. The cultivation message is that sweet corn can be planted in tropical and temperate climates at any frost-free time and in colder zones from autumn through early summer. It will need to be planted in a block to facilitate fertilization in a full sun position with rich soil. Harvest can be undertaken once the cobs are standing out from the main stem, the silks are turning brown, and the kernels release a creamy juice if pressed. Magical correspondences include return, divination, luck, offerings, fertility. Deities, it's Quetzalcoatl, the corn maiden, and I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. The celestial correspondence is Venus, and the astrological correspondence is Leo. The ritual spell is this. This kitchen spell will bring good fortune to all who join in. Heat oil in a pan, place corn kernels in the oil, and cover the pan with a secure lid. Once about half have popped, remove the lid and let the popcorn fly. Catching a popped corn will bring you luck. If you feel this is a little too dangerous, simply toss a cup of full of popped corn into the air. So if you don't want to catch a hot popped corn, you can just use it when it's fully popped and cooled.
Oh, I love that. I actually love the idea of catching it when, you know, when it's on the on the stove.
Well, you have asbestos fingers.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
But and my mother both can handle the hot stuff.
You know,
I would never do that. I'd be like, no, we're going to cool this first.
You know how much fun that would be during like a ritual or during a Sabbat when we do the fire outside?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just my
like,
gosh.
Have, like a little pan there.
We could have so much fun with that. We could just put it in the cauldron and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have some people put on gloves. Why are you wearing gloves?
I'll put on the of glove.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say these cards are so pretty.
Aren't they?
Yeah. The drawings are beautiful. And I just love the surroundings around around this card, which will there'll be a picture of it on our Instagram page. You know, it's a picture of like corn and a stalk or whatever. But there's also like some leaves and some stars. And, you know, just like different symbols. And it looks like it's like splattered with like paint or something.
Yes, or ink or something.
It looks really pretty.
Yeah, it looks like a grimoire page to me.
Yeah, it does. My dad used to have a huge vegetable garden and he used to grow the best corn.
Yeah.
He had like rows of corn and it was really delicious. And I just remember that, like seeing this card. Now I'm just like remembering that. It was a really fun time to like be in the garden with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you have a, you know, you're a witch if?
I think it would just be like, you know, you're a witch if you just are so jazzed and excited to plant your herb garden because you know the, all like the fun stuff you're going to make from it, like the simple syrups and the anointing oils and, you know, the burning wands. Sage wands. Well, sometimes you use other things too, yeah. But the cleansing wands, that's what I'm going to call them. And I think that really, I think most witches have gardens, I'm going to say, or want to have gardens or want to work with herbs and vegetables and like anything that grows.
Yeah, anything that comes out of the earth.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I definitely like going to the farmer's market and buying
so you see,
other people have grown.
So you see.
I just need to remove myself from the growing process because it does not go well.
And that's fine too. I mean, it's great to just go get your herbs and then come home and like, you know, wash them and like, you know, I don't know. There's just something really magical about that whole process of, and now I'm going to make like a simple syrup. And you know, these are not things that take forever.
No.
Or I'm going to make a tea or I'm going to make a bath tea or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
It is fun.
And I have to say like when I do things, like I make things and then I use them later, it just feels like it's even better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I think.
I agree.
You know, you're a witch if.
I like that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Have fun planning your gardens. Send us pictures of them.
Definitely. Send pictures.
Yeah. To our Instagram and we'll share them and such. So can't wait to see those. And thank you so much.
Stay magical. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
If you loved this, please leave us a review. We can't wait to talk to you again next week.